This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joysters. I'm back.
He's back.
And this is Jim, and I'm on Is Nothing Sacred with you all the listeners, and I've got here with me tonight the usual team. James, hello, James.
Paneling hello, Jim. Over welcome there. Back.
Thank you. And Steph, hello, Steph.
Hello, Jim.
And I hear you had a wonderful time at the Midsummer Fair, which I unfortunately missed because I was in New Zealand.
Pretty great, yes. I was at the Joy Tent. I was so, it made me feel so proud. All of the wonderful Joy people, all the volunteers. Yeah, I felt very proud. We signed up lots of new members. We did a bit of meeting and greeting, got some new sponsors. Everyone was like, really like, yeah, Joy. And I was like, yeah, Joy. It was good. There was lots of joy.
Excellent.
Ba-dum chink. It was really good. Sunny and warm and marvellous, some might say.
Well, I'm sure.
Sorry, Jim.
I'm sure it was better than Havelock North, where is where I was, which is a little town in the middle of New Zealand.
Yeah, do tell us very shortly. Well, how is it? How is the NZ, New Zealand? Well,
it's about 5 years behind Australia in community attitudes, I think, and it's...
In some ways, it's ahead. Like, don't they? Like,
oh, no.
They have marriage equality there.
Yeah, well, you know, wouldn't get carried away because, you know, you can have laws, but they don't necessarily do much. And we used to joke because the town that we were in was unbelievably white and middle class for a country that is, you know, like 25% non-white. And so we used to go into town on Saturday morning and joke about the world's supply of blonding cream had disappeared the night before because everybody was like blonde, blonde, blonde and white, white, white. So that was Havelock North, which is really a suburb of Hastings, which is actually a very, very mixed, racially mixed town just near Napier, which is this fabulous Art Deco town that got destroyed in an earthquake.
Oh, yes, I've been there. It's quite stunning, though. It's like a time warp.
It is a bit like a time warp, but not really properly protected, I don't think. Mm. You know, one thing that the New Zealanders don't do well is regulate, and so there's lots of problems with their regulation. So they were one of the first English-speaking countries to deregulate everything, And it comes back to bite you in the ass eventually if you deregulate everything because things start going wrong and there's no recompense.
You tell them, Jim.
I will.
Speaking of people who can make regulations, how was that for a segue? Very shortly, we're going to be speaking with the Mayor of Hobsons Bay.
We're doing local government, aren't we?
We are indeed. Last week on the show, we had the Mayor of Moonee Valley.
And we loved it.
And it was so good that we thought we'll talk to another mayor. So somewhere else where there's lots of great things happening for Midsummer. So we'll be talking to Peter very soon, but...
Peter Hempel, the Mayor of Hobsons Bay.
Did you know Joy Audio Production Services can help you with your audio recording needs, no matter what the task at hand? We have a way to support you and your business. We can produce radio-style interviews for your website, on-hold greetings, podcasts, voiceovers for video, and more. Call Joy's production manager, Jason, on 1300 569 949. Or email production@joy.org.au. That's 1300 569 949. Joy Audio Production Services, commercial grade audio quality at community radio rates.
Yes, listeners, this is Jim, and you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we do have a podcast, and you should listen. And I have to go back and listen to the last three or four weeks of podcasts myself so that I can catch up and find out what these retrobates have been doing while I was away, but I'm sure it was fabulous. They tell me that it was, so I must believe every word they say. Anyway, tonight we're continuing a theme that we've got going at the moment, which is Midsummer, of course, because It is midsummer, and it's midsummer for another couple of weeks, end of next week. The Pride March on Sunday is the wrap-up, and it's the 21st Pride March, I believe, and it's going to be at 2 o'clock down in St Kilda, and the usual place where it always convenes, which is in the...
Lakeside Drive?
Lakeside Drive, in the gardens around the sports centre there, by next to the St Kilda Bowls Club.
Yes, indeed. But...
And, there will be a joy contingent. And
there will be a joy contingent. You're very welcome to join us, all puns intended. But for now, I think we have Peter on the line. Are you there, Peter?
I am indeed.
Hello. Thank you so much for speaking with us. So you're the mayor of Hobson's Bay, is that correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. And can you tell us a bit about what's been happening and what's coming up for midsummer over in Hobson's Bay?
Sure. We've had a few events already. A GLBTIQ wellbeing night, which is all about mental health and just general health issues. We've had screenwriter and playwright Tommy Murphy sharing his journey with the screenplay Holding the Man. And we've had music on the deck at the Williamstown Library. So we've had a few events already, and we've got some that have already started and some yet to come.
What's one that you would recommend for people coming up?
It's not a very long tramp over the bridge, is it?
No, it's not. And there's one not far across the bridge, and that's at the our wonderful Newport substation, which is a unique arts venue in Hobson's Bay in the west. And I hear a lot about this one from last year, and that's the Ms. Gay and Ms. Transsexual competition. Which is, you might have seen a bit of that advertised
in the
Age last Thursday.
Yes, indeed.
But Hobson's Bay is no stranger to the LGBTI. Q community, is it? Because your mayor was Tony Briff for some time, wasn't
it? That's correct. He did one stint as mayor.
Yeah, we've had him on the show as well.
And Tony's a well-known intersex advocate, and
sure.
Always at all the midsummer things that I ever go to, I see him there with his wife.
So what role do you think that council can play in helping to support the LGBTI community?
Well, I guess in some respects that's what the Go West Festival is all about, and this is our seventh year of Hobson's Bay's involvement, and we were there right from the very start in 2010, and we've progressively had a number of events at the festival. I think there are something like 24, 21, 22, 24, something in the West, and there are something like half of them in Hobson's Bay. So we've always been out there in supporting the GLBTIQ community.
So for listeners who haven't heard of Go West, so is it a coalition of the different councils together, is that right, in the West?
It began as Go West began with just Hobson's Bay coming to an arrangement with Midsummer, and then progressively the other councils have joined, the other five councils of the West. Last year was the first year where all six councils took part in the Go West program.
Great. And if people want to find out more information, where can they go?
Oh, good question.
maybe the Midsummer website?
You can look on the Midsummer website, and if you look in the Midsummer magazine, the official festival guide, you'll find it, the glossy ones right in the centre of it. And I'm sure you'll find it on the Hobson's Bay website as well. So, I'm sure it's well publicised as part of the Midsummer program.
Peter, some people might think it's a bit strange local government taking such a leading role in an LGBTIQ cultural festival. Do you get any pushback at all from the sort of conservative elements of local communities telling you to just concentrate on the rubbish things?
You do get some pushback, particularly from the more conservative older people in the community. But, you know, councils are all about diverse and inclusive communities. So I think the tide is changing a lot. Even I noticed that in the last two or three years, there's more acceptance of GLBTIQ.
Great. Thank you.
So if we come over there, is there a rainbow flag flying over the council chambers?
I believe it is still flying there.
Oh, good.
That's good to hear.
Because I do remember last year there was a big flag-raising ceremony both for the rainbow flag and for the trans flag. And we had a show on it where our then co-host Kurt, who's a trans man, did a whole lot of interviews there with people with the raising of the trans flag because it was the first time that it had been raised at a local council event. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for talking to us so late at night, Peter. And I'm sure lots of our listeners will have a great time at the Go West events in the next week or so.
There are plenty of great events, and we encourage people to come over the bridge. It's not such a Chinese wall, and it's not that far, particularly to our municipality. You have to go a little bit further to get out to where it is, but there are plenty of great events right across the West, and we encourage people to come along and come over, and not only during the Go West Festival, but at other times during the year.
You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. You are listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we are talking midsummer tonight a bit, but we've now got on the line Tim Christodoulou from Minus 18. Are you there, Tim?
Yeah, I am. How are you going?
Good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And we're actually going to talk to you a bit about your involvement, or Minus 18's involvement in Midsummer, and what you've got going on while this is going on.
Yeah, sure thing.
So,
tell us what's been happening.
Yeah, so we were just down at Carnival Day just last week, which was great fun. We were there with about 150 young people just dancing and listening to some great music and enjoying the sun. You know, a few of us get a little bit sunburnt, but that seems to always happen at Carnival Day.
Did any of them take their mums and dads?
A few of them did, actually. We had a few parents come up and speak to us, which was really nice. But it was just a really great opportunity to meet some young people that we hadn't yet spoken to and sort of introduce them to the work that we do and get them reading some of our resources and sort of helping them to figure out what they can do in their own communities to help fight homophobia and transphobia.
Now, speaking of the work that you do, Tim, I know that you're the partnerships manager at Minus 18, but for the listeners that maybe don't know what Minus 18 is, what exactly, you know, is the organisation and what are you guys hoping to achieve, I guess?
Yeah, sure thing. So Minus 18 is Australia's largest youth-led organisation for lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender young people. So we support young people through resources and school workshops and events. And all of our work is sort of aimed at helping them to overcome any homophobia and transphobia they might experience, whether at school or just out in the broader community. But it's also all about empowering young people and sort of giving them the opportunities to succeed and do more than they ever thought they possibly could. So I'm not sure whether or not we have a single goal. I think our goal is sort of just to work with young people and really give them the chance to be the best person they can be.
Tim, it's Jim here. Do you get recognised pretty widely as being a legitimate voice for GLBTI young people?
Yeah, I think we do. I think sometimes there's a bit of trepidation to look at youth-led organisations, and I think that's sort of a bit of a stigma that I think we're starting to overcome now, where, you know, 10 years ago, there wasn't an organisation like Minus 18 that was doing really effective work to support young people. Often you looked at resources and the depiction of LGBTI young people were of people who were cowering and hiding away from the camera, and the portrayal of young people was incredibly negative. And then we came along and we decided we wanted to create resources and booklets. And all of our content is all about very positive portrayals of young people and images of young people that, you know, they're looking happy and smiling. And, you know, that sounds like a small thing, but for someone who's trying to figure out their identity, that's a very big welcoming sign that, you know, it's not something to be frightened of. It's actually something that can be really empowering and really special.
I think there were lots of people at Carnival on Sunday who were walking past and saying, I wish there was something like that when I was young. I heard that from at least one person. And, yeah, it's such valuable work that you guys do.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the number one feedback we also hear from parents in rainbow families where, you know, often these people haven't grown up with a network like Minus where, you know, being a young person can sometimes be a really isolating experience. And if the only function we serve is to introduce young people together to make them meet friends and people they can just spend time with and hang out with, that alone does a huge amount to combat mental health difficulties that young people experience on a daily basis. So it's very, very important.
So, Tim, how long has Minus 18 actually been in existence?
So we've sort of existed in a few different forms. So earliest sort of first event that we ever held was 18 years ago this year. So it's our 18th birthday in 2016, wow, which is quite exciting. Yeah, yeah. So for some people it doesn't sound like it's too long ago.
Are you having a dead ball?
Well, we're having our formal. So we have the same-sex gender diverse formal every year. And I think this one's going to be quite special, obviously, because it is our birthday and our coming of age, I guess. yeah, so I think for a lot of people, 18 years might not sound like a long time, but, you know, for the young people who are coming to our events, sometimes Minus as an organisation is older than they are, which is just something that, you know, we're still struggling to come to terms with ourselves, but... yeah, we've been around for quite a long time.
So do you find that your voice is taken seriously by politicians and crusty old bureaucrats?
Yeah, I think we are, actually. And I think if you'd asked me that question 5 years ago, I probably would have said we're not taken seriously enough. But I think people have started to see the work that we're doing and the impact that we're having, and have seen the resources we've been putting out, which are really making a huge difference for young people. And they're starting to realise that actually our model of operating works quite well and we're actually making an impact with young people. Because often, you know, a high school student doesn't want to read a booklet that's been created for them by, you know, a 30-year-old youth worker that doesn't really understand their experiences and what they're going through right now. Whereas an organisation that is run by young people and all the work is done by young people, we all have the same experiences. We know where everyone else is coming from and we can sort of empathize with that. So I think we are being taken seriously, and I think that's a really good thing for young people, because I think it's, you know, young people and youth issues are starting to get the attention they really deserve.
How old can people be before they start getting a tap on the shoulder and saying, come on, you're getting on a bit?
yeah. So for volunteers, usually if we're welcoming them into the organisation, usually we won't take anyone on board who's older than 23. But once you're in the organisation, you can usually stay around until about 25, 26. And that's sort of when the UN defines you as not being a young person anymore. And then, you sort of have to have a bit of a conversation on the fly.
We do have to go to a short break, but stay on the line. If anyone is listening and has any questions for Tim, you can SMS us on 0427 JOY 949. That's 0427 569 949. You can also email onair@joy.org.au. It's 28 minutes past 8.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, JOY 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our JOY podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our JOY program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a JOY member? You can become a JOY member anytime, online at joy.org.au or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we have on the line with us Tim Christodoulou from Minus 18. You're still there, Tim, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Now, you just heard a station announcement about Have Your Say, and somebody has had their say. Someone SMS'd us in on
0427 joy949,
and you can also email us on joyonair@joy.org.au. somebody has done that, and they've asked us a question of you, Tim. How does Minus 18 link GLBTI youth in rural areas who face even bigger problems of isolation than those in the city?
Yeah, and that is a really good question, because obviously the issues faced by rural and regional young people are pretty immense, and sometimes growing up in those areas, particularly if you're a trans young person, can be quite dangerous at times. So the work that we do in those areas is that we work quite closely with rural and regional groups already existing in those areas, and we build on the work they're doing and work collaboratively with them to really reach as many young people as we possibly can. So we work with GASP Geelong, which is a Geelong youth group that works with LGBTI young people. We work with Way Out, which is an organisation that works across regional Victoria. And we also hold events in regional centres as well, as much as we possibly can, to make sure that we're capturing as many young people as we possibly can as well. And, I mean, in terms of accessibility to events, we always make sure that if people can catch a V-line into Melbourne, which some of our young people do, that we've got young people who are meeting them at the train station and escorting them to our events and so on. So there are definitely barriers for regional and rural young people to come into metropolitan Melbourne, so we try to minimise that as much as we can, but it's always going to be a bit of an ongoing struggle, I think.
But all that's all very well, but in fact, a lot of people will live in places where Way Out isn't, or where GASP isn't, or where the Shepparton group isn't. So what do you do with what do you do in terms of young people who live, you know, way out in much more, or not that there's anywhere really isolated in Victoria, it's such a small place.
Or Bost.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think
I was trying to think somewhere far away in Victoria.
There's nowhere far away in Victoria. You know, if you get as far away as Mildura, you can just nick across the border and you're in Adelaide. And but, you know, it must be very difficult with those people. But
wait, let him answer the question.
So it is definitely difficult, and I think that's why as an organisation we make a very deliberate attempt to make sure that all the booklets we create and all of the campaigns we do are all available online, so people can download them from our website whenever they'd like. We've also got an online forum on our website, so young people who can't physically come to our events can create an account and go into our forums and meet other young people and talk online. So really, I think the online space is the great enabler of a lot of the efforts that we do, because obviously, as you said, sometimes people simply can't get into Melbourne or they don't have an organisation working in their area. So we do make a very deliberate attempt to make sure everything is accessible online.
Do you work with mainstream youth organisations out in rural areas?
Yeah, we sometimes work with headspace centres, so we don't really have a formal relationship in that respect, but sometimes headspace centres might reach out to us and ask us to run an event with them, but, you know, we sort of treat it as it comes basis, but certainly at least four times a year we try to make sure that we get out to the major regional centres in Victoria, for sure.
I feel, Tim, that this segues quite nicely. I mean, Safe Schools Coalition, we've had people representing them on the show before, but they're obviously now national, which is fantastic, and there's more and more schools joining every year. And I suppose in some ways they have similar things that you guys have in terms of, you know, a material that is there to help and support young people in schools, but more importantly, the teaching staff. Have you found that that's had a positive effect, a flow through, if you will, to you guys at Minus 18 in some ways?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's worth noting as well that Safe Schools in Victoria is actually being rolled out to every government school. So they're really going to have across Victoria reach in terms of the young people they work with and the schools they work with as well. So that's also really important to make sure that we're linking in with young people as much as we can. And I mean, speaking nationally, they've got something like almost 500 member schools already, and that's a huge number of people. And I mean, I went to a school not too long ago, I'm going to be revealing my age a little bit, where
It's all right. We know how old you are.
We know you can't be over 26, otherwise you would have got that tap on the shoulder.
Exactly. But yeah, so my school was actually a member of the Safe Schools Coalition, and what that said to me was that it sent a very clear message that my school was supportive, and it was a space where I could be safe, being myself and being out and proud about who I was, and that's exactly the way that I was. And, you know, unfortunately, there are schools where the experience isn't as positive, but when Safe School is there, it's sort of a foot in the door where you can have that conversation and build the recognition that, in fact, you know, there are LGBT people at your school, and, you know, sometimes they do experience bullying, so, but through all we attempt to make sure that they're having the safest and best education that they can possibly have, because, you know, there's going to be no one in the community who wants a young person to miss out on an education. That's just, no one wants that to happen. So making schools as inclusive and accepting as possible is incredibly important.
That's extremely true. I mean, Tim, I know that when I was at my school in my year, no one came out, particularly at school. But
Wasn't very long ago.
And that
Jane,
was not, and it wasn't very long ago. But even just a couple of years after me, just a few boys coming out changed the whole, you know, culture, particularly in those years, and it's really flowed through for the younger years. So you can see what even a small amount of voices can really do about changing the whole culture. So you know, it's really, really important that they have that safe space. But Tim, I was actually wondering as well, what sort of made you get involved? I mean, you touched on a little bit, but was there anything in particular that got you involved in Minus 18 events or anything like that? Did you go along to them in, you know, when you were still at school?
I have to admit, I actually wasn't brave enough to go along to a Minus event when I was at school, because I think when I was coming to terms with my sexuality, you know, it just wasn't a thing that I even contemplated. But funnily enough, for some reason in my own good mind, perhaps a bit too frightened to go to an event, but I was happy to apply and join the volunteer crew. So I don't know what that says about me, but you know, the first event I went to was actually as a volunteer, and you know, they're just incredible environments. And you know, sometimes these events can be a little bit frightening for young people, so we make sure that while we have dance events, which are, you know, full of music, full of great DJs and people to make friends with, we've also got lower key social events where people literally just have an opportunity to meet each other. We do a really fun event called a speed friendship, where it's almost like speed dating, but without the dating component. And you get sat down with someone for 3 minutes and you talk to each other about everything that you possibly can in those 3 minutes. And then you rotate and you go through the entire room doing this. And that's an amazing way to set up going to a dance event, because you've got people that you know, you can go in a big group and you can have an amazing night. And, you know, that's the experience for the overwhelming majority of young people. And, yeah, it's amazing. And I think a little part of me sort of wishes that I had a chance to go along to the event before I became a volunteer to really fully experience it. But, you know, going along to an event for the first time and walking into a room and seeing guys holding each other's hands and, you know, girls kissing, and, you know, it's just, it is amazing. And for a lot of young people, it's a really transformative event in their life.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, we do want you to hang around, hopefully, if you can, we're going to have a quick message and a song. We would love to talk a little bit more about all the events that you held through midsummer and what you're holding in the, you know, for the rest of the year, so that young people listening can, you know, certainly go along. I know that's a very important part of what you do. Just hang on through a little bit, and you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hello, darlings. This is Miriam Margolyes asking you and ordering you to tune in to Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station. It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. Thank you, Miriam. We're all gorgeous here. I'm sitting in the studio. My eyes are full of gorgeousness as I look at James and Steph. And my ears are full of gorgeousness as I listen to Tim from Minus 18.
Tim, you're a sweet talker.
You haven't heard anything yet. look, I remember growing up in the country, not in the country of Victoria, but countries out of Australia, and one of the things that concerns me, having grown up as a young gay person in the country, was that, and I was fairly involved in youth things as a kid, Mind you, it was a long time ago.
Jim's more than 26 years
you
old.
You wouldn't remember it.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the youth organisations were run by churches, which were not exactly...
gay-friendly.
Well, I do remember that the minister's son was quite welcoming.
Oh,
but, you know, it's always worried me that country town... I've always thought the country is somewhere you drive through to get to cities. And partly it's because of the way that I grew up, I think, and the fact that it wasn't exactly the world's most welcoming place. And so how do you actually overcome that problem that if you're working in the country, you know, you might find that the resources there are actually not supportive and are not supportive of you and may not be welcoming of you or safe for you to even go there?
Yeah, and I think that is an ongoing challenge for a lot of young people who grew up in country areas. But I think we are starting to see a bit of progress. I think often where churches and, I suppose, faith-based organisations can be what brings together a community, I think we're starting to see a lot of progress in those areas where quite a few faith-based organisations are actually some of the ones taking the most forward thinking steps, I guess, in terms of being as inclusive of LGBTI young people as possible. And I mean, you know, just on a local front, we heard just the other day that the Catholic Archbishop for Melbourne, Dennis Hart, has okayed Catholic schools allowing same-sex partners to come to their school formal. So that's an amazing step forward. But there is still progress to be had. And I think as the community becomes more accepting and celebrate more LGBTI identities, I think you're going to start to see it become a bit easier for people in country areas. But, you know, I'm certainly not denying that people in country areas often face it harder than people in metro areas do. They absolutely do. And there's no real easy answer to that question, unfortunately. But I think we're going to start to see some more progress and some more change in future.
I suppose, Tim, one of the positives will be, and I suppose why I touched on it earlier, is I have this, you know, this vision that if Safe Schools is able to, you know, as you say, sign up all of the schools in Victoria, and then coupled with, you know, with your great events that you hold for more social aspects and having everything available online, you know, particularly with social media and the internet the way it is for young people, there are, you know, it's a lot smaller place for people in terms of connecting. So hopefully that will, you know, be a more positive future.
Well, and that's it. I think often you see a lot of young people going online and going onto social media where, you know, they can be whoever they want to be, and often the person they decide to be is exactly who they are. And sometimes in their own local communities, they don't have the opportunity to be that way and to identify in that way. But you know, social media is incredibly powerful in the way that it will empower young people to not just learn more about their identities, but learn more about other people's identities and be more accepting themselves, for sure.
Can we ask what's next for Minus 18? What are your grand plans, or, I mean, I guess in the longer term and then maybe in the next week or so?
Yeah, sure. Well, how long you got? Well, it was actually really exciting. So last year we held our first ever interstate event. We were actually in Adelaide, we have a huge gym, where we held a formal for young people over there, and we had over 150 young people come along. And, you know, we were told by youth workers who came along to the event that it was the biggest event put on for LGBT young people in South Australian history, which was just
woo-hoo.
Amazing. And, you know, I think longer term, what we're wanting to do is to make sure that the formal goes to every single state and territory in Australia. That would be an amazing first step for our organisation and an amazing opportunity for young people across the country because, you know, as we know, school formals are an incredibly formative event. You know, it's not often that you get to dress up and look lovely and bring the partner that you want to bring to a formal event when you're a teenager. It just doesn't happen that often, so it can be huge amounts of fun, and that's really an experience that we like to give to young people as much as we possibly can. So, you know, in the next 5 years, we'd like to see it in every state and territory. We can chat again in 5 years to see how we go. You know, I'm pretty confident that we'll have made some pretty serious progress by then as well. And I mean, it's always just a process of, you know, we'd love to see greater awareness of the issues facing LGBTI young people, particularly trans and gender diverse young people. You know, trans and gender diversity are to issues that are starting to come to the forefront of public discussion at the moment.
In the paper last week.
Yeah, exactly. On the front page, which was so great. You know, we had Kate McGregor from Queensland being the Queensland finalist for Australian of the Year. You know, we're starting to see great amounts of progress, but obviously we've still got a bit of a ways to go. And then I suppose just in the next couple of weeks or so, we've obviously got Pride March coming up, which is going to be an awesome event for young people who want to come along to that. We're going to have, we're hoping to have pretty much every youth organisation in Victoria marching in the same section of Pride. We managed to do it last year, and we're hoping we're going to be able to pull it off again this year. You know, shepherding 300 people can often be a bit of a challenge, but we're all going to be having T-shirts and banners and stuff. So if you just come along to Pride on Sunday, we'll be giving them out for free, and you can march along with our young people as well.
Great. So, Tim, basically, if you're under 26, you can just meet you at the top of what street is it? You meet in the park?
It's the corner of Fitzroy Street and Lakeside Drive. For this, we're sort of opening it up to any supporters and allies that want to come along, particularly people who might work in the sector, who are youth workers, teachers as well. We're going to be marching with Safe Schools Coalition, so obviously anyone from the education sector is more than welcome to come along. But really, we're just putting a call out to allies and supporters of LGBTI young people to come march with us and send a very clear message to any young people who might be going along for the first time or watching tentatively from the sidelines that obviously their identity is celebrated and that, you know, they're loved.
Oh.
Fantastic. Tim, we often talk about, important issues other than same-sex marriage on this show that need to be focused on, and we talk a lot about youth mental health, and I think that it's very important work that Minus 18 do about making a community for, you know, a true community through things like the formals and the events that you hold for young people and connecting them. So it's very, very important work, and we wish you all very well. Jim?
Thank you so much.
And Jim, any final questions? Or
no, just remember that, you know, we're not straight.
I mean, was there ever any question of that?
I suppose that is the point.
I mean, the fact is, one of the great things about the gay community is it's not the straight community, and so there are strengths in having a gay community. And you know, I'd hate to think that you know, I really don't like it when I see gay people going around saying, oh, you know, I'm no different from all of my straight friends, blah, 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 blah. And I think, yes, you are. And, you know, it's sort of a form of self-loathing and self-hatred that I particularly find obnoxious. And so, you know, finding the strengths in the gay community is a really... I mean, I like what Minus 18 does because it does actually take a positive view of gay community and gay culture, and there are lots of things to celebrate. There are lots of things to be proud of, and you know, doing that is going to lead to acceptance, not tolerance.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, otherwise the only allies that you'll have in country towns are people who might want to make sure that they've got a good stuff shop in town, you know, the soft furnishing, somebody to hang their drapes properly and plump their cushions nicely. And all that sort of stuff. Someone to do their hair and their flowers.
Thanks, Jim. Look, we're going to have to cut you short there. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Tim. We appreciate your time and appreciate all the work that Minus 18 do. Now, just really quickly, most recent events, if there are young people listening, most likely to our podcast because they're all very tech savvy.
And they're all in bed by now.
Exactly. So what? Oh, they're probably having a drink or two. Oh, no, they're not allowed to do that. Sorry. Oops. Didn't say that. So, Tim.
Enjoying their evening responsibly. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Tim, what would some of the most recent events coming up that they could potentially go to?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Pride is the really big one that we've been working towards for quite some time, and you know, that's going to be an awesome opportunity to meet other young people. But we've also got a Mad Hatter's Tea Party happening on Saturday just before Pride at Treasury Gardens from 12 p.m, which is going to be an event which is run by the City for Wyndham, I think, which is just going to be a bit of a tea party in a garden, which is going to be great fun. And it's going to be a great opportunity, as I said, to meet other young people and perhaps make some friends to go on to Pride with the next day. Apart from that, you can always go onto our website and sort of keep track of our events as they come along. We have social events that happen every 2 weeks or so, and then our bigger dance events happen every school holidays. So we'll be having one in a couple of weeks' time, I would imagine.
Fantastic. I know you're becoming quite well known for your dance events, so that's certainly something that'll be more fun once they go to a smaller one and make some friendships there, I'm sure. All right, thank you very much for joining us. I'll let you head off for your Tuesday long weekend. Wish you a happy Australia Day.
Thank you.
Thanks again for coming on. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.